Hello and welcome to the I Can Do podcast with Benjamin Lee. We're here to talk about tips and strategies to have an I Can Do mindset. Life is what you put into it. Get the most you can. Here's your host, Benjamin Lee.
Why did Jesus have to die? I don't know if you've ever been asked that question before, but this is a question that people have raised throughout the years, people in the world, and also people among the people of God, even Christians. Going back, it feels like a long time ago, I guess, but going back to 2004, there was a Time magazine cover that had this titled, Why Did Jesus Have to Die? What's interesting about this is that it actually talks about the reasons behind his sacrifice are debated anew. There really is no debate when we look at what the Bible has to say. We want to go back to what God says in His Word. We're not concerned about what scholars say. We are concerned about what does God say as to why Jesus had to die. And so this morning, we're going to listen to those who were inspired by God. Old Testament prophets, New Testament prophets and apostles, even what the angels said concerning the death of Jesus Christ. And we also have the opportunity to hear from Jesus as well. Why did Jesus have to die? This is a question that many people have. And so let's just dive right into this. This is a great reminder for us, for our young people who are seeking the truth. And as we study with people in the community, understanding what God says about why His Son had to be a sacrifice. We're going to start all the way in the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. Moses wrote this, and we're going to start with the Old Testament prophets. Now, Moses was not there in Genesis, but he was guided by the Holy Spirit. He wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Listen to what Moses had to say here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This kind of Bible study, this kind of sermon is a sermon about God, in particular, His nature, Jesus, and us. As we think about the sacrifice of Jesus, we got to go first back to God. What we learn here from Genesis 1 and verse number 1, God is real. God exists. He is the cause behind all things. He has all power and authority. He is sovereign in nature. He is wise. And we see in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 26 that God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. From the very beginning, God has desired a relationship with man, fellowship with man. We are created in His image. God made Adam and He also made Eve. And we read about God putting them in the garden in Genesis chapter 2. As we turn over to Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 16, we also see that God is the standard for right and wrong. God is the standard for what is good, what is wrong, what is sinful in His eyes. In Genesis 2 and verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. God gave man instructions, commandments. He has the right to do that because He's the creator of all things. What we see, though, is that man was also given choice. What we find in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1 is that the serpent is going to come onto the scene. The serpent of old, the tempter, the father of all lies, the devil, is going to deceive Adam and Eve. Now, they had to make that choice on whether or not they were going to listen to the devil or to God. They chose to listen to the lies of the devil, to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. They disobeyed God. Now, God had warned them, if you eat from this tree, which I'm telling you not to eat, there will be consequences. You will surely die. And yet in verse number 6 of Genesis chapter 3, when they saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she also gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. We see sin in the garden. And we see the consequences of sin, where sin now has entered into the world, and now man is going to be separated from God. Adam and Eve are going to be kicked out of the garden. There were consequences when it came to sin. So from the very beginning, we get this foundation of understanding the serious nature of sin. That God hates sin, that sin is serious, that we need to listen to what God says. In Leviticus chapter 16, we also see, again, the serious nature of sin. Under the law of Moses, every year the high priest was to go into the most holy place, and a sacrifice was to be made. Blood was to be put upon the mercy seat or the top of the ark of the covenant on behalf of the sins of the people. What we're going to see is that there was a sacrifice. There was a shedding of blood that was required for sin. In Leviticus chapter 16, it says, that's the correct chapter up there. In verse number 14, the Bible says, "Moreover, he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side. Also in the front of the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Then he shall slaughter the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, and bring its blood inside the veil, and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. He shall make atonement for the holy place because of the impurities of the sons of Israel and because of their transgressions in regard to all their sins." What we're seeing is that sin has always been a big deal in the eyes of God. Sin is a problem for mankind that we really need to address and focus on even more, and understanding how God views sin. "And thus he shall do for the tent of meeting, which abides with them in the midst of their impurities. When he goes in to make atonement in the holy place, no one shall be in the tent of meeting until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself and for his household and for all the assembly of Israel." A shedding of blood was always required when it came to sin. The Hebrew writer will speak more about this, that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So from early on, we see prophets like Moses giving us some understanding about the nature of sin, about sacrifices that were required for sin to appease the wrath of God as a result of the sinful behavior of the people. Now, when you listen to other prophets like Habakkuk, turn over there in Habakkuk chapter 1, where we find this interaction with the prophet of God in the Old Testament speaking to God. Habakkuk understood some things about God. He understood the nature of God. I want to read verses 12 and 13. This gives us some more insight as well as to why Jesus is going to have to die. In Habakkuk 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God?" This is Habakkuk speaking, "My Holy One. We will not die. You, O Lord, have appointed them to judge, and you, O Rock, have established them to correct. Your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor." Think about that for a moment as we consider who God is. God is awesome. He is holy. He is pure. He is just, the creator of all things. "Your eyes, Lord, are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor." This gives us a better understanding about the serious nature of sin. Many times, people just don't understand how horrific sin really is. Other prophets like David, King David in Psalm chapter 22, is going to speak about the death of Jesus. He's prophesying about what's going to happen centuries later, and he gives us graphic details about the sacrifice that Jesus is going to make. This is what the prophets are helping us to see as well. In Psalm chapter 22, beginning in verse number 14, David says this, "I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. And you lay me in the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I count all my bones. They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Now in the New Testament, we know that Jesus is going to be crucified on the cross. We know that it's going to be a horrific death, and David speaks about this, and he gives us insight about why, or the manner in which Jesus was going to die. With all of that said, when you turn over to Psalm chapter 40, what's interesting, and this is a text that is quoted in Hebrews chapter 10 concerning Jesus. In Psalm chapter 40, in verse number 6, the psalmist says here, David says here, "Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required Then I said, behold, I come, and the scroll of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. The Hebrew writer is going to quote from Psalm chapter 40, verses 6 through 8, as he spoke about Jesus, his sacrifice, and the manner in which he would come. There's something to be said here that, yes, Jesus is going to be sacrificed on the cross. He's going to die for the sins of the world. But notice that he is going to delight in doing the will of God. This is something that Jesus was going to do, and consider the manner in which he was going to do this. Why did he do this? Why was he going to do this? Because of the horrific nature of sin. All throughout the Old Testament, the prophets are reminding us about the problem of sin. Look over in Isaiah chapter 53. This entire chapter speaks about the coming Messiah and the sacrifice that he would make. This chapter is read by the eunuch in Acts chapter 8, where Philip is talking about how this is referring to Jesus. And what we find here is Isaiah is speaking as if these events are happening at this very moment concerning Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 53, in verse number 3, we won't read all of it, but he says this, he was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced or wounded through for our transgressions, for our sins. This is why Jesus is going to die. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. Jesus is going to have to become this sacrifice for the sin of the world. Isaiah speaks more about the problem of sin. As he spoke about the nation of Israel, he would remind them in chapter 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities or sins or transgressions have made a separation between you and your God. That is a serious nature of sin. The prophets of old remind us or are teaching us and showing us why would be that Jesus would have to die. We also get another indication or reason in Jeremiah chapter 31. The prophet Jeremiah speaks about a new covenant that would one day be established in Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning in verse number 31. And this is something, again, that is emphasized all throughout the book of Hebrews, a better covenant, a new covenant. And this covenant is going to be established through Christ and his death and what he would accomplish on the cross. Jeremiah 31 and verse 31, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more. Something better was coming, a better covenant, a better sacrifice. But in order for this covenant to be established, there also had to be a shedding of blood. In Exodus chapter 24 and verse number 8, remember, this first covenant was inaugurated with the shedding of blood. And the Hebrew writer emphasizes this as well. In Exodus chapter 24 and verse number 7, then he took the book of the covenant, talking about Moses, and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient. So Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. In Hebrews chapter 9, the Hebrew writer reminds the saints then, and he reminds us now, that in order for this new covenant to be established, there had to be a shedding of blood. In Hebrews 9 and verse number 15 or verse number 16, for where a covenant is, there must of necessity be the death of the one who made it. For a covenant is valid only when men are dead, for it is never in force while the one who made it lives. Therefore, even the first covenant was not inaugurated without blood. And we just read that in Exodus chapter 24. Why would Jesus have to die? He would have to die because of the problem of sin. He would have to die for us and for the world. He would have to die to usher in this new covenant. Now, John chapter 1 and verse number 29, while this is recorded in the New Testament, John was prophesying still under that first covenant when it was still in effect. And John, one day, when he sees Jesus, John cries out and says concerning Jesus in John chapter 1 and verse 29, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. These prophets of old teach us and are instructing us why it is that Jesus would have to die. When we think about his death, we need to remember God. He is holy. He is good. He is pure and awesome. He can't just merely overlook sin and ignore it. Something is going to have to be done. Sin is horrific in the eyes of God. And while there were animal sacrifices in Leviticus chapter 16, they never took away the consciousness of sin. There was always something lacking, as we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. A better sacrifice would be required. A sacrifice, a shedding of blood, would be necessary to take away the sin of the world. If a new covenant is going to be established, a shedding of sin or shedding of blood, the blood of Jesus, that is going to have to happen. The old prophets, Old Testament prophets, give us indication and insight about why Jesus had to die. What about the angels? We have just a few interactions with angels in the New Testament where we see them talking to individuals, and they also give us insight as to why Jesus would have to die. In Matthew chapter 1, will you turn over there? In Matthew chapter 1, we have an angel who's going to appear to Joseph. An angel appears to Joseph, and the Bible says, let's just start in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, the son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Here, it's, listen to what the angel says. For he will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Isaiah is going to be quoted here. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, Isaiah chapter 7, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son and called his name Jesus. The angels give us guidance as to why Jesus would die. It's very clear because he's going to save his people from their sins. Look over in Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, notice what Gabriel says to Mary in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse number 31. Actually, we'll start in verse 30. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Jesus is going to be born, God in the flesh, the incarnation of Christ. And Jesus is going to live on this earth. And he has a purpose as to why he came to this earth. Ultimately, to deliver us from our sins. After his death and burial and resurrection, he's going to rise from the grave and ascend back into heaven. and establish his spiritual kingdom. And the angel here reminds Mary about this as well. But in order for him to establish his kingdom and to reign in heaven, he would first have to die. In Luke chapter 24, the angels make it clear that indeed he really had died. He had died, he was buried, he rose on the first day of the week. In Luke chapter 24 and verse number 1, read this with me please. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified, and these two men, I believe to be angels, these two men stood next to them, were terrified, and bowed their faces to the ground. The men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He's not here." And we know they're angels with the other parallel passages. "But he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again." See, Jesus also spoke about his death. You see the distinction there? He would be delivered into the hands of sinful men. But Jesus was not sinful. He was sinless. But he's going to have to pay the price for the sin of the world. The angels give us direction and guidance and insight about why Jesus would have to die. He was born to die for the sins of the world. He was going to establish a spiritual kingdom after his death and resurrection. The New Testament prophets and apostles give us the answer as to why Jesus had to die. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, this is after the resurrection of Jesus, Peter is going to begin speaking. The 12 have received this power from on high. They are speaking in tongues. The people are confused about what is happening here. Peter is going to help them to see this is that which the prophet Joel had spoken about. All what you're witnessing and hearing and seeing. Notice what he said in verse number 22. "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles, wonders, and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know." These miracles and wonders and signs, people saw them. The audience that was there, they would have known about these things. They saw these events. "This man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death." This was a part of the plan of God. The death of Jesus was not some afterthought or quickly, you know, something that had to be done quickly because things weren't working out according to plan. This was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. Peter is making that very clear. That God had provided or already had put all of this together to provide a means so that we could be saved from our sins. Jesus was nailed to a cross, again, by godless men. Notice the language, sinful men, godless men. They put him to death, but God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Why did Jesus have to die? Well, this was a part of the predetermined plan of God. This was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. And we see the wisdom of God being carried out here.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of I Can Do. This was a portion of a sermon that I preached. If you are interested in hearing more about this subject of why did Jesus have to die, or if you'd like a copy of my sermon outline so you could study this subject on your own, please send me an email at icandocoaching@pm.me. Take care. God bless. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. If you are in the need or are looking for more motivation in your life, feel free to check out my website, benjaminlee.blog, where you can find hundreds of encouraging, motivational blog posts on a variety of subjects. You can find all of my books, which can also be found on Amazon.com, and other podcast interviews with a variety of people. I hope this helps. Please leave me a rating and a review. I can do, and so can you. Take care, and God bless.